Hello and welcome to our program. Today we begin a brand new series in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 1, begins the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Interesting, the burden of the word of the Lord. We'll look at it in a minute. First, let's ask ourselves this question: is my all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your sacrifice laid, your heart does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love he will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Malachi chapter 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The word burden, according to the dictionary, is a heavy load. A burden is something that causes hardship. It is the main responsibility for achieving a specific aim or task. That's an interesting definition. Right from the dictionary, the main responsibility, a burden, is the main responsibility for achieving a specific aim or a task. That's what Malachi had in mind. The main theme or gist of a speech or a book or an argument is the burden of the argument. And so he says the burden of the word of the Lord. Now we have this heavy load. It's a heavy load. It causes hardship. People say, you got the Bible, you believe that Bible stuff, what do you need, a crutch? No, it's not a crutch. It's a burden. It's a heavy load. The word of the Lord it'll cost you something to go by the word of the Lord. That phrase, the word of the Lord, is in the Bible 258 times. Now it says here, and this is so important when we're going to study a portion of Scripture, is to ask ourselves who's talking. And to whom is he talking? Well, it says the word of the Lord, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So Malachi's doing the talking here, and he is talking to Israel. Israel is mentioned 5 times in the book of Malachi, and Judah is mentioned 2 in the book of Malachi. And so we need to understand the difference. You remember when they began in the glory days for Israel, they were all one. But then after they got to their 3rd or 4th king, things started falling apart, as God said they would. And so then they were divided, and Israel was in the north, and Judah was in the south. And so to understand this correctly then, as we go through, he begins by saying, the burden, the heavy load, the thing that causes me hardship, Malachi is saying, yeah, you be one of those prophets, you'll find out how much hardship's involved in it. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. By Malachi. Now, what do we know about Malachi? Well, the word Malachi means my messenger. And as far as knowing anything about him, we know nothing about him. His name is mentioned once in the entire Bible. And that is right here in verse number 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Malachi. He is mentioned only 1 time. Now, the focus is on the message and not on the messenger. If you tune in the news tonight and you turn on your television and the announcer says, well, first of all, I want to tell you about my bloodline, and this is the blood group that I have, and my grandmother and my grandfather, and I'll take you back to my we don't want to know about that. We want to know the news. And so God says, I'm not here to tell you about Malachi's pedigree. I'm here to give you the news, and Malachi is my messenger. Well, we have this man named Malachi. He's the final prophet in the Old Testament, and the next voice we hear will be 400 years later, and his name is John the Baptist. The book of Malachi was written about 100 years after Israel had returned from exile, and it was written about the same time as Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls. If you study the book of Nehemiah and study the book of Malachi, you'll see that Israel was rebuked for the same things. For instance, Nehemiah chapter 13, the priesthood was defiled, Malachi chapter 1, we find the same thing. In Nehemiah 13, we also find that marriage was corrupted in Israel. And in Malachi chapter 2, we find the same thing. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10 and 11, we find that they were rejecting God's word regarding tithing. And in Malachi chapter 3, we find the same thing. The same problem occurred in both of these books because they were both written about the same time. Now, we keep in mind that by now the temple has been rebuilt. They have been doing their sacrifices. The feasts have resumed. But the promises of the prophet, like Haggai and Zechariah, were unfulfilled. And the people were disillusioned. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. They started doubting God's word. They started doubting God's love. And we need to keep the context here and realize that Malachi's message was to the remnant. These are the people that came back. Remember, most of the people said, no, we want to stay in Babylon. We like the lifestyle here. It was a small remnant that had come back, but now they have become disappointed and discouraged. They're doubting God's word. They're doubting his love. And that is the context of this portion of Scripture. The lesson here for us, be careful. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. They were excited 100 years ago, but now they've lost everything. So Malachi chapter 2, God said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, and I loved Jacob? And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, they're saying, we don't see anything here where God is loving us. As I said, it's all a matter of focus. They're disillusioned, disappointed, discouraged, and doubting. He said, I have loved you, and I have hated Esau. Now, that's very interesting. God said he hated Esau. How do we understand that? Well, first of all, the descendants of Esau were the Edomites. And Malachi was written after 1,500 years of history of those Edomites. And they were direct descendants of Esau, and they were bitter enemies of God's people. Jeremiah 49 and 17 said, Edom shall be a desolation, and it is. You won't find it anywhere today. Now, we have this love-hate situation here. The word love is in the Bible 310 times. The word loved, past tense, is in the Scriptures 98 times. And then in the New Testament, sometimes the same word, agape, in the Greek has been translated love. Sometimes it's been translated charity. And it's been translated charity 28 times. So concerning love, we have a focus on that 436 times. But you have the word hate 87 times in the Bible, and we have the word hated 60 times in the Word of God, for a total of 147 times. Now, Psalm 139, verse 21 says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? David said, I hate them that hate thee. What is this thing about hate? Psalm 139:22, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Proverbs 6:16 through 19, we read, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift to running to mischief. Now, I can go along with that. I say, all right, I hate those things too. But when we get to the next verse, he's not talking about things. He's talking about people. He said, I hate a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, you know, it's hard to understand why God would hate anyone. No, here's something that's far harder to understand, that God would love any of us. We've given many reasons for him to hate us, but it should be more difficult for us to understand how God could possibly love any of us. Now, again, we've said when studying a portion of Scripture, we need to look at it in its context. And the context of Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 has to do with the nation. And when God says that this nation, Edom, shall be desolation, it's the nation that he's referring to and the things that they are doing that he hated. So when he refers to Esau, he refers to the nation of the Edomites. We read in verse 4 that Edom saith, "We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places." God said, "They shall build, but I will throw it down." Verse 4 also refers to the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And that word people has been translated nation 17 times in the Word of God. In contrast to that, we see in verse 5, "And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord shall be magnified from the border of Israel." Once again, the context has to do with the nation and not with individuals. Well, Malachi is just there preaching the way God has told him to preach, and wish we had more of that today, where people would just preach what God says to preach, leaving nothing out. So he's passing the message on to them, and he says that here's what God has to say, verse 6, "As a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you." Now listen to what he says in the end of verse 6. "Saith the Lord unto you, O priests that despise my name." He said, just in case you haven't got it together yet, I'm talking to you, the leadership, the spiritual leadership that despises the name of God. And what was their response to that? "Oh, we're really sorry about despising his name. We'll repent." No, it'd be nice if it did say that. What it says, he said, "O priest that despises my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" Well, the thing about going headlong into apostasy is it makes you spiritually stupid. In Leviticus 26:43, "They despise my judgment and abhor my statutes." Numbers 11 and 20, "Ye have despised the Lord." Numbers 15:31, "They despise the word of the Lord." 2 Samuel 12:9, "They despise the commandment of the Lord." 2 Chronicles 36:16, "They despised his words." Psalm 106:24, "They despised the pleasant land and believed not." Proverbs 1:30, "They despised all my reproof." Isaiah 5:24, "They despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Ezekiel 20:13, "They despised my judgments." Ezekiel 20:24, "They despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths." Ezekiel 22:8, "They despised my holy things." In Amos chapter 2 and verse 4, "They despised the law of the Lord." Malachi 1:6, "They said, wherein have we despised thy name?" You see, all these years, God's had those prophets out there preaching the truth, and they're just going off like water off a duck's back. Well, this unpopular prophet just keeps on preaching the Word of God, and he says, here's God's message for you. Verse 7, "Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar." That's where you've despised my name. "And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is not that evil? And ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" In verse number 9, the prophet says, "Beseech God that he will be gracious unto us." In verse number 10, God says, "I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." I'm not accepting your polluted offerings. But they wouldn't listen, as they wouldn't listen to Ezekiel, and they wouldn't listen to Isaiah, and they wouldn't listen to any of those prophets that came along. They're not listening to Malachi either. A whole lot like what's going on in what we call fundamentalism today. Well, in Malachi 1 verse 11, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." He said, "I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord." Yeah, the Jews hated the Gentiles. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. God says, "Well, I'll have something to do with them." For the last 2,000 years, the Jews have been rejected as far as presenting the things of the Word of God are concerned, and God has turned to the Gentiles. Well, they didn't listen. Malachi 1 and 12, but ye have profaned it. Profaned what? My name, he said, shall be great among the heathen. You've profaned my name, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. They said, what God has to offer? This spiritual food? Now we don't want that. We want to go back to Egypt. Well, in verse 13, ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn and lame and sick, and brought ye an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? They're just saying, oh, this serving God, it's just a whole lot of weariness. The weariness is the reluctance to see or experience any more hardship. We don't want that. We want an easy road. Well, it would be very obvious that Malachi would not be well accepted with his messages, and anybody who's going to preach like he did will not be well accepted today.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy.